Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm so excited about this session and so glad that you are here so we could talk about LinkedIn optimization. This is part one of a two-part series. Definitely something that people ask a lot about when it comes to LinkedIn is how to set up your profile, what you need to do. What should you do to stand out? All those different types of things. What information should you include? So we're going to take the next 20-ish minutes to go over some of my best advice and talk about what you can do to optimize your LinkedIn profile, especially for those of you who are just starting out. I know it's like very daunting to think about putting together your LinkedIn profile. It can definitely be something, it's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. But want to give you some manageable tips and tricks so that you can look into what you need to do for your LinkedIn profile. All right, let's see here. And I do want to say I just posted job postings for this day. So Friday, March 1st. Happy March 1st, everybody. We are in a new month and we are having a good time. So please, if you have not yet checked it out, we have posted for the new month and we are so excited. Also want to let you know that every single LinkedIn Live that we do is going to be released on our podcast, which is EdUp EdTech. And I will share that information with you right here. It says, won't you join us? You can go to edupedtech.com. That is our podcast that Nadia Johnson and I host together. And you can find the latest episodes out on our website. We recently interviewed some CEOs and co-founders of some different companies, AI focused. And we are going to release all of our job-related episodes out on that platform as well. So we're excited for you to join us. We do a lot of different things here. So, all right, let's jump into it. And I definitely welcome questions as we're going along. So if you have any questions about, what to do as far as LinkedIn optimization goes, want to make sure that we are responding to those questions. You can put those in the chat. And there's Nadia. Good
Hi,
morning.
good
Hi.
morning.
What you doing?
Nothing much, just on live.
Here we are. It's fun. I don't know why it's not coming through my beats right now. I'm gonna fix that real quick before we get started. All right. Well, I just introduced everything and said, what we're doing, and we're going to do this in a two-part series since there's a lot to cover. And we want to make sure that we respond to questions. So you want to start, or you want me to start a little bit with
You go ahead and start.
Okay, sounds good. All right, let me go ahead and share my screen. And I want to I like it how you have your title up there. I know I can do that too. I'll do that later. Before, always finding cool stuff to do on StreamYard. All right, let me go ahead and present and share my screen. I'm gonna share LinkedIn. And like I said, I've posted job postings out for today. So if you want to go out and check those out, definitely do that. So we are live on LinkedIn. I'm gonna go to my profile. So it's gonna be showing my live on here on my profile since we are live. I do want to say the first thing that people notice when they come to your profile is your picture and your cover image. And I created both of those in Canva. So you definitely need to have a cover image, and you definitely need to have a professional photo of you that's showing, your face, like if you were doing something. I think of real estate agents when I do this, how they would look in a photo, because they always do really professional stuff. So I try to, mimic what they would do, like a sitting picture, have on a nice shirt, make your hair look nice, or you know, be professional. And Nadia showed me recently that with Canva's AI, you can change the color of your shirt. So my shirt used to be pink. Now it's black, and I'll probably change it again just to maybe I'll turn it green for March. So it's a really cool thing that you can do. And I just use Canva. If you go into Canva and you type in LinkedIn cover page or LinkedIn profile pic, it will come up and then you can create those. So that's definitely the first thing people see is an image of you. So think about how you want to present yourself, because this is where you're starting your brand when it comes to being on LinkedIn. Nadia, do you have anything to add?
No, yeah, I think that's what I'd use Canva for mine. Just took like a really good picture and put it in on Canva, added some color to my background photo. I created my banner. So there's plenty that are like already like templated, but I added my own like little flavor to it. So yeah, that I think that's a good start. I think what were you moving into next?
I was going to talk about like the headlining and some of the,
I think that's super important. I think that's extremely important, especially if you're in the job search. So you want to start there and I can piggyback.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you come to somebody's page, the first thing you read is their headline. And I obviously have a gobbledygook of information here. I probably need to update it, but I want to make sure that I convey to the audience what I do. So the first thing that I tried to do was have like a, you know, like Nike has a logo, like, you know, just do it. But I wanted to say what I do and encompass everything that an instructional designer does when it comes to their role. So the first thing I did was I came up with this helping, and I had ChatGPT help me, of course. It has to be something that's, you have brevity, it's succinct, you know, and helping humans design meaningful and inclusive learning experiences. So again, when they come to your profile, that's probably the first thing they see. And if they're previewing it on like a phone or something, they're going to see that headline. And then I added in some other information to follow that. Talking about like, you know, how many followers I have, what I do in other roles, like the podcast hosting, you know, the curating of the job posts that I do every Monday and Friday, and Wednesday's international. And then I added in a little fun one at the end of Disney Adult, and that has got some attention. So, you know, maybe it's worth saying, Nadia, that adding in something personal about yourself does help a little bit for people to kind of connect with you. In the sense that like, we're humans, we don't work all the time.
Right.
so we can add in a little fun there as well. And then of course, below that, you want to make sure you add in your location. And I really feel like the headline is open to interpretation based off of what you want to say. I've seen people with one line, I've seen people use quotes, but Nadia, I want to get your take on this because you do really well with this sort of headline thing. I have to work on mine a bit.
Yeah, I think tagline, like you said, kind of like bring something different to it, like kind of say what you do, but in a unique way, in a way that grabs the attention. I think mine is learning designer, inspiring aha moments for my favorite people.
Let me go to yours.
Yeah. So I kind of added a little bit of my own tagline, but the tagline of the company that I work with, ZB, like we're all about inspiring aha moments. And so I kind of bridged the two, like my favorite people are students and teachers. And so I kind of bridged the two, because that's what I do is I inspire aha moments for students and teachers, and they are my favorite people. So that is a little bit of mine, like instructional designer kind of talks about the co-hosting the podcast, curriculum is my jam kind of thing. So having all of that there, I think the biggest thing that I realized like throughout my job search is that is huge for recruiters. If you have yourself marked as open to work or what is it called? Open to work or?
It's open to work. Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago, but oh my
goodness. Yes, the Green Banner Club. Banner.
If you have your open to work green banner on, or you are just marked as open to work, it's super important that you have a tagline and you're clear about where you're going, what role you're looking for, what industry you're looking for, because that is the first thing from what I was kind of told when I was in that job search. That's the first thing that recruiters can see is like your profile picture and your headline. So it gives them insight as to who you are and what you can bring to any role or any new field. So I think that you got to be also thinking about that. You got to be thinking about your headline from that standpoint as well. Not just like, what do you want to include, but what do you think will grab the attention of a recruiter? Because during my job search, I had tons of recruiters reach out to me. Some of them were contract work that panned out. Some of them weren't. Some of them was a full-time job that didn't pan out, that I didn't go for. But the point is that the recruiters are there and they can find you. So you want to set your LinkedIn up to be found, if that makes sense. So be intentional when you're picking out exactly what you want to say in that headline.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. That's why I left mine so I could say that it's not perfect. And the other thing too is like, I think that you have to take the actual time to set up this portion of it. Like this little snippet takes a little bit of time to kind of, you know, get prepared and ready to go. It takes a little bit of thought and creativity. And then you can go down into the other pieces of LinkedIn and also to, you know, coloring, that sort of thing, accessibility, thinking about your brand. You know, you really have to consider what types of things that you're going to use. Cause then like in other situations, maybe if you're sharing a portfolio, you're sharing a website, you're going to include those pieces into that as well. So you're going to brand across your different platforms.
And I used the color wheel to figure out, like, I knew I wanted something that spoke to my personality, but I also like typed in Google, like what colors draw people's attentions, like the psychology behind colors, basically, like what colors are going to stand out and draw attention and what colors like the combinations that work together. So that can also help you if you're trying to just jazz up the colors or anything. I've gotten actually a lot of compliments on the different colors that
I have. I like your colors. I definitely like your colors. So we had a question. Stacy was asking if we had any suggestions on AI if we don't have a professional headshot, realizing that there's a lot of different AIs out there, app or otherwise. I use my iMac to take some headshots. I dress myself up, I still wear my sweatpants because you work remote, but I did my hair and stuff and I just took some photos on my Mac and then I pulled that into Canva and then I use Canva to manipulate, you know, coloring, you know, different lighting and stuff like that. Nadi, I don't know if you have any particular AI apps. I've used a couple.
I have not used AI when it comes to creating a photo. I'm a little nervous about that, if I'm being honest. But what I do is mine is really simple. I just use my phone. I have like a little ring light. I get some really good lighting. The picture that's there is a selfie that I've just cut the background out of and put it behind a colorful background and added it to LinkedIn. It may not look like it. It may look like a professional photo, but like, no, I've just used my iPhone. So, I would say, don't let that hold you back. Ask someone to take a photo. Like years ago, when I first got on LinkedIn, the photo that you liked, Holly, with the brick background, my mom took that outside of our, like when I was living with her, she took it outside of our house and I just added it to LinkedIn and touched it up and added some filters to it. So I think don't be afraid to just ask someone to take a quick photo of you or use some photos you already have and kind of get techie with it. But I haven't used AI, so I really couldn't give you like real recommendations as to like how to navigate that.
Yeah, I think there's so many out there. And I would say if you're thinking about using AI, make sure it looks like you, because I know there's different things going around where you can do like a Renaissance picture. You could do like a futuristic picture, and also to use the free trials. Don't buy anything, you know, don't invest in anything necessarily. This is something you should definitely, like Nadia and I are saying, to keep it simple for sure. Now I have the whole, let me go back to my profile. Yeah, I have like a window inside of a window. I didn't realize it puts the live on your cover page. I had no idea. Maybe I should just stay on your profile because it's a little bit easier. Set a scene us in inset windows. So definitely keep it simple when it comes to that sort of thing. And also too, I do want to mention, I noticed that sometimes people use older images. Make sure it's kind of current, you know, like in the last 3 to 5 years. I know aging is fun for us, but something that displays who you are right now. So people, like if you ever went to conferences or live events, they recognize who you are. Because I've seen some people with some older, you know, images, and I'm like, I don't look like that anymore. I looked at maybe something from like 2015, 2016, and I definitely don't look the same. You know, you change with time. So make sure it's something using that as current.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would also say the biggest thing that helped me in my job search is I know some people are a little weird about adding like where their location, like where they're at, but I think it helped. I think it's important because not only can you connect with people in your area, but I had tons of recruiters who were only recruiting for jobs in my area. And some of them are in person, some of them are remote, but you are going to get reached out to by a recruiter if you put your location, and they are looking to fill a role in your area. So some of the interviews that I went on, or the jobs that I was approached about, were jobs within my area that I would not have gotten, you know, insight on if I had not put my location. So I just want to add that, because that's right up there near the headline. So I just wanted to add, like, you know, it may be worthwhile adding your location to LinkedIn.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I haven't really seen, you know, like, but that local recruiting is something that is still alive and strong. And people, especially like even in the outskirts of your area, like, you know, Myrtle Beach, we're both in South Carolina. So different, like North Myrtle Beach, Georgetown, like the bigger cities that surround, that like are within community distance, mm-hmm. people will look at that and say that they're, you know, there's colleges here. So thinking about if you're going into higher education or some sort of educational institution and they're recruiting there. So putting that in, definitely, I agree with you, is advantageous for you in those local recruiting situations.
Yeah. I still get recruiters that are looking to fill jobs around here. But I don't know if they're scams or not, but.
Oh, let's talk about that a little bit before let's have a little tidbit about recruiting. Cause I know that's a conversation that we plan to have down the line, but just a couple things when it comes to recruiters. Like, I know that, you know, I've worked with a couple of recruiters in the past. They've ghosted me. They've, you know, before I got my role at Amazon, they don't follow up, that sort of thing. I think it's important to mention that you need to choose your recruiters wisely and make sure that you develop a good working relationship with them and communication. I feel it's kind of like the dating world where you're swiping through and you find somebody good and then they talk to you for a little bit and then they go away. So what I would say is, if you are planning to work with a recruiter, make sure that you vet them. Do they have a LinkedIn profile? Is there a website that lists them somewhere as a recruiter? How many years have they been in this game as far as recruiting is concerned? And maybe reach out to them with a message. If they're reaching out to you, again, still vet them, because I found that there have been definitely some scams when it comes to the recruiting situation, and people are losing money and or their time dealing with people who are not honest. So be aware of that.
And there's tons of red flags. Just pay close attention, really. Like, if they're already asking you for your personal information and you haven't even gone on an interview. Like, I had one recruiter call me and they were like, can we get the last 4 digits of your social security number? I said, no. I said, absolutely not, because you don't need that right now in this stage of the process. So, like, just, there's red flags. Like, there are things that are just not normal. So definitely just pay attention. That's all I can say, because scams are everywhere, not even just in the job search, but, you know, pay close attention. If it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right.
Yeah, for sure. Use your gut instinct. And people say that a lot. Well, yeah. We had another question in the chat. Janeth, I don't know if I said that right. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm bad at names. What if you live in another country and are soon to move to the USA? Is there an option to edit that part of LinkedIn? Yeah, you can edit your location. If you go into edit your profile, you can say what part you're moving into and then have that. Let me go into, if you go to, pull that up. If you go to name, location, and industry, and under your basic info, you can put in where your location is. And obviously there's more information here. So if you put in the postal zip code, the city, and you can, the city will pop up there. So you just click save and then it shows that you are in that particular location. I would say if you're within like in the next couple of weeks or the next month, you can put that in there and just let people know that you're in the process of relocating to the United States and that you're going to be coming here so that they don't think like, oh, but you were in whatever country, you know, before, but now you're moving into the United States. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? You think that's a good.
Yeah. I think because it allows you to change your country and yeah. So you can kind of toggle between if you need to. I think
all right, we're 20 minutes in and we've only gotten to the cover page, the profile, the headline.
Well, we knew we were gonna have to do this in parts.
I know, that's why we did it in parts. That's why we did it in parts.
So but before we move down, we have to talk about linking a portfolio. My portfolio is not there anymore. It used to be. Now I have Ed Up Ed Tech there, but because I need to refine my portfolio. So but like if you have a portfolio, linking it there or linking it at the top is helpful, I think. And I think it helped me. I still got hiring managers and people still like, can you send it to me? Can you send it to me? But like if they're recruiters that are looking on LinkedIn, then they can already see it just kind of in that top part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. And I had mine previously, and I one of the things I'll say is that I don't subscribe to premium LinkedIn at this point. You know, I know some people do is like visit my website so you can use that button to visit the website. I use everything for free. I don't know about you, Nadia, if you've subscribed to their premium stuff.
I have not.
Okay.
I got it for free when I was laid off.
So. Right. Right. So just thinking about that and, you know, doing as much as you can. LinkedIn is a wonderful professional network. I will say that if you're looking for jobs and you're searching for roles and you want some more statistical information about how you fit in a certain roles or compete with other people who are applying to the roles, and then premium is an option for you. But when you're first getting started in the search, you just want to set up the basic information and then you can explore later if you want to invest in that premium option for LinkedIn to see if you need some more of that data or some more of those opportunities that are offered with the premium version.
Yeah, I think the premium version is great. I think it serves a lot of other cool purposes, but I just don't see myself paying that much for it every month, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I just don't. But like I said, if you're in, like it was helpful throughout my job search. Thankfully, I had someone reach out and say, hey, I have 6 months free. I have a friend who works at LinkedIn. We can get you 6 months free of premium. So that's how I was able to use it during my job search. And I do feel like it was helpful. So if you're thinking about, you know, or if you are thinking about it and you are in the middle of a job search, I don't think it can hurt to use it like throughout your job search, but I'm not sure how helpful it is if you're not actually actively searching for a job.
Right. If you're just kind of setting yourself up for networking and getting to know people, you really don't need the premium version for that. Yeah, for sure. Somebody asked a user out there on LinkedIn, what are some of the best places to create a portfolio? So I always say Google Sites. I managed to create mine in about 20 minutes. It's a work in progress. But I use Google Sites to set things up. They have really easy templates. You can import pictures. You can import your artifacts. you know, set up your different pages very easily. If you've ever used like a Google Slides or you've ever done a PowerPoint presentation or even set up a website, it's very, very easy to do. And it looks really nice and professional and you can edit it and it's free. Nadia, have you used anything besides Google Sites?
I tried Wix before I used Google Sites and I just found it not to be as user-friendly as I would have liked it to be. So I got frustrated with that and moved to Google Sites. So that's what I use is Google Sites. I just felt like it allowed you to be really creative. It has templates. If you're not someone who wants to kind of create everything on your own, it has templates and has like, you know, things that you can just plug in. But I just found that it was more user-friendly to use Google Sites.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And definitely consider if you're going to have a lot of different information out there, you know, if you want to purchase something, you can definitely do that and explore that if you're going to make it more robust. But Google Sites, just for the initial, like, you know, seeing your artifacts, seeing your portfolio, seeing who you are, really easy, like we said, to use and just pop into right away. If you have a Gmail, you can just sign up for it. And then you have a link that you can put into your resume and put on your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I would say easy. Looks a little bit more like website-y. Mm-hmm. That's a word.
It's a word now.
Yeah. I mean, now it is. But if it looks a little bit more website-y, but it's just not as easy to use. And Tim Slade has really awesome videos for how
to write
and create a portfolio. Like I literally watched his videos and just did it. So if you're looking to use Google Sites, Tim Slade has awesome resources on YouTube that you
does. I don't know where this world would be without Tim Slade and his advice. Love him so much. And he's helped so much, like in the career transition from higher ed to corporate instructional designer, him, Robin Sargent, like their resources are priceless, honestly. And they share so much for free.
Yeah.
And give back to this community. So we definitely recommend going out there and researching some of that. Janice had another question. She wants to know where on the top do you suggest linking your portfolio?
I'm trying to remember how to get there.
Let me see.
It's like because it took me a while to figure it out, to be honest.
Yeah. Let me go into my...
There's a specific area that you have to go to link your portfolio. And I have been seeing that visit the website thing, so I'm not for sure if that's different. That's premium?
It's like
a... Yeah, that's different. That's a little bit different when it comes to... So I'm going to have to check into that because I forgot where you link it to. One of the things that I do is I put it in my featured section.
Yeah,
I do put in. Yeah, so that is one place definitely that you should put in any sort of things that you're proud of. And we're not going to go too much in the featured section. We're kind of staying at the top here today. But I would say put it down there in the featured section for sure. And when you're going into your headline and stuff, maybe you can link it in there as well so people can click on it, and definitely have it in your resume too.
Mm-hmm. And when you go in like your profile settings, there's a way to link it up there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
find it. It's
we'll
probably
have to play with that
because this morning
and add that to part two. Definitely link it in your featured section. That one's pretty easy. You just click the add button and add the link.
Yeah, we just add the button and add the link. And definitely display any different pieces you're proud of, the things that you've curated. So people, when recruiters come here or people who places you've applied for, if they're recruiters or, you know, leadership are coming to look at your profile. We got about a minute left. We got one more question from Stacy. Are there any industry certifications that help give you an edge? So I'm going to say that ATD, instructional design certification, if that's the field you're looking into, is one that is recognized across, like people know that one has a lot of weight behind it. Also too, I'm going to recommend Robin Sargent's Idol Courses Academy. She's getting accredited. She's, you know, she has like all this information. I can't tell you how much like stuff that they have. Like she gives you access to tools. Yeah. Like I highly recommend if you're thinking about going into corporate instructional design, especially, that is the place for you. There's also too, if you're thinking about going to higher education, there's Luke Hobson's Instructional Design Institute, and he has a lot of different things that help you if you're like a transitioning teacher and you're going into higher education to transition to role and be prepared for the higher ed world. So definitely ATD, your local chapter and whether national chapter, they have a certification in instructional design. Robin Sargent's Idle Courses Academy, and we'll share all this in the show notes as well. And then what was the other one I said? Luke's course, the instructional design. And yeah, those are some good ones. So definitely look into those. Again, before you invest, do research and make sure, you know, you maybe can have a consultation with whomever you're thinking about. There's a lot of different options out there, but those are the ones that we recommend.
Yeah, I don't have some great resources. I can't really give you any. I actually went and got a master's in instructional design. So like at this point, I'm not looking at certifications because I've already spent so much money. But
I think we're both in that boat.
I've already spent so much money. I can't even look at a certification. But yeah, those are really great options. I've done work with Idle and great. Like had I not already started like the trajectory of that degree, I probably would have like done something like Idle. So
yeah, it's super affordable too. Like spending like $30,000 for a degree or spending around $3,000 to $5,000 for this certification. It's industry standard. People are recognizing it as something that has weight behind it. You know, I wish the same thing for myself. I wish I would have knew that as well, but here we are. let's do one last question. Rich has a really good question, and I think this is something that I addressed in a post recently. Ooh, yeah. Is how to navigate the issues of sharing proprietary content. So I think it's important to remove the branding. I think it's important to make the language more basic and not identifiable for the, you know, whatever the e-learning is or the job aid. If you could change it to a different topic, yet still have the essence of what, the product was, mm-hmm. you have to take out that proprietary content. You just can't have it. I was talking about this the other day. I was like, how am I going to, like, I've created so many wonderful things internally at Amazon, but how am I going to showcase that I know how to do this stuff? Cause my portfolio right now is full of like presentations I've done or videos that I've done outside of Amazon. So how am I going to share what I've done inside of Amazon? You definitely have to take the time to take out that proprietary confidential information. If you're working in the healthcare industry, the HIPAA stuff, if you're working in higher education, the FERPA situation. So make sure you're not putting yourself in a sticky situation and try to maybe, you know, shift it to maybe like a different topic or, but still retain that essence. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think mine is a slightly different because I've worked on a lot of other like freelance and different projects where I can't really share anything. So like, I just really cannot share anything related to what I've done with work like that. But like I said, just tweak it as much as you can. And like for me in like some of my past roles, if some of the content that I helped to create is on their actual website, I just share it because if you put it out there, I can put it out there. Yeah, I try to tweak it if possible. And if not, I'll just describe a little bit, like add a little blurb that describes the work that I did there and just have to put, you know, I can't share the proprietary information. Like,
right.
This content can't be shared, but this is a little insight into what I did. So that's what I've done in the past.
Yeah, definitely a good call out there for sure. All right, so let's go through, let's review. We basically got like the first thing people see when they come to your profile, like this top part is you showcasing yourself, you talking about who you are. Like if you apply for a role, like the resume, the professional summary. So you definitely want to have a nice cover photo. You want to have a professional portfolio. You want to think about what you want to share in that headline, be specific about what you do. Maybe like Nadia did, relate it to what you're currently doing at your current role, and, you know, make it interesting too. So that like what recruiters are looking for, what they're interested in, maybe do a little bit of research. And then linking out to any websites or portfolios that are important to showcasing what you do. Did I forget anything?
No, I think that's it. I think if you're in search for a job, obviously don't use somebody else's tagline.
But ChatGPT is full of ideas. Don't use other people's.
For sure. Yeah. But yes.
Yes. And, you know, obviously this is like 30 minutes, so there's so much more that you can do. We're going to do a part two of this series where we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the other pieces of your LinkedIn profile. But one of the things I want to mention that I didn't say at the beginning of this is that in 2020, I started out with 50 followers. And then I decided to invest myself in setting up LinkedIn, reaching out to people, having some coffee chats, you know, connecting with others in the industry, outside the industry. And now I have almost 30,000 4 years later. And I'm not going to say that it was easy, because it's not. But if you're looking to grow yourself, you're going to have to take 15 to 20 minutes a day to actually focus on your profile and what you want to put out into the world. What is your brand? So please, you know, don't think that this is going to be something that happens overnight. It does take some time, but it will happen. And if you're coming into the instructional design community, everybody is so welcoming and everybody wants to help and everybody wants to give you advice. And, you know, like Nadia and I will share, like, can you look at my resume? Can you look at my profile? I did this, I did that. So find a buddy like that too, that somebody's going to, you know, they'll give you an honest feedback and constructive feedback.
It just asks for help. Like, don't be afraid, because there's so many people that I know that are transitioning into the field and will just get on LinkedIn and say, hey, LinkedIn, hey people, I'm doing this. I need help. Do you think that I should do this or do this? And there will be tons of people in the field that will comment and give their advice. And, you know, so don't be afraid to just ask out. You know, you don't necessarily have to have a buddy, because sometimes that's how you make a buddy, is just by asking out, you know? So I would say do that too. Like, don't be afraid to just ask out to your LinkedIn connections, because somebody will respond.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are going to keep talking about these things. We're going to keep talking about jobs. We're going to keep sharing our experiences in the industry. We appreciate you coming to and asking questions to us. We are so grateful for this community and having a platform where we can share our experiences. And again, this is going to become an episode of Ed Up Ed Tech. So thank you so much for joining us for this live, and we'll see you next Friday.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a great weekend.
Bye.